And on the line now I have Derville Pitcher from the Association of Optometrists in Ireland. Good morning, Derville.
Morning, John. How are you?
I'm good, and thank you very much for taking the call. Now, we hear all the time about waiting lists in hospitals, people on trolleys, people sitting in chairs. But this is, it's new to me, the waiting lists in eye care. And it's, the numbers are terrible, like 13,000 waiting.
Staggering.
Yeah, it's... Tell us, what's going on there, Bill?
Well, I think we have an ageing population. We have a lot more people looking for eye care. And as a result, the list have just got completely out of control. So now you're on a list to get on the list. You know, so what's happening is people are just being... And as soon as something happens, people are being referred in because they need to get on the list as soon as possible because the wait has got so long. And we just think this is completely unacceptable. You know, and we think that optometry would be able to solve some of the problem. But unfortunately, at the moment, the way the system is driven, it's all through hospital care. So it means that we're not getting the opportunity to do that and to help to alleviate the list. And one of our big... There's a couple of really big lists. I mean, in Dublin in particular, like the list for children to be seen by an ophthalmologist is huge when they're picked up in school screening. So we think they should be able to come out to their local optometrist, you know, where their mum or dad would be in control of the appointment. They'd be able to pick a time that suits them and they don't have to go too far. And they'd be able to come in and decide whether or not they need specialist treatment or whether they can be treated in the community. So, and that would free up a lot of time in the hospitals for other things that need to be done for specialist care and things that need, you know, where a child might have a squint return or some kind of pathology. They could be seen straight away in the hospital. I just think it's a terrible waste of resource. And as a, you know, a service user myself and as a parent, it's very frustrating when you have parents coming into you and, you know, they're complaining they're on the list for 18 months or 2 years and then they're forced to pay for, you know, for access to care for their children, which is not what should be happening at all. So we reckon we could make a huge impact on that. So that would be one area where we could definitely... And it would free up all of those ophthalmologists who are fantastic and have, you know, fabulous training here and are the best. You know, we'd be one of the best in the world. And it would free all of them to deliver the care that they should be delivering to the people who need it most. And I think that's probably the biggest issue, that we should be allowing for local access to local community care for everybody. And then where you need to go on to specialist care, that is freed up. And the same way with cataracts, you know, people, there's a great scheme up in the Northwest now that's running, and people who need to go for cataract surgery, what happens to them is they go in, they see their optometrist, and when they're ready to go and when they want to go, then they're sent into the hospital, and then after their surgery, they come back out to the optometrist who will do their post-cataract checkup, and that frees up a huge amount of time. So we probably have about 20,000 cataract procedures a year. And if you freed up two visits, even a minimum of two and probably more, that's 40,000 slots that you would clear, you know, per year in ophthalmology time. You know, and we have 34 people, you know, 13,000 people sitting, you know, and 34,000 waiting for an appointment. So that would free up all of those slots for those people to be seen. So we think there's a really easy solution to this. It'll be a win-win for everybody. And there's lots of capacity in the country in optometrists. There's 800 qualified optometrists around the country who would be delighted to help out and be given the opportunity to clear these lists.
I'm just reading here, it's the largest waiting list in health. And I imagine now eye care, a lot of eye care, it can be very, pretty urgent. So, you know, that it's dealt with sooner rather than
exactly.
later.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And what's happening now is because people are so anxious about getting on the list, they're insisting on being put on the list early where they don't really need to be there yet. But because they're afraid if they don't go on the list straight away, they'll miss out. And as a result, then you've the hospitals ringing everybody or writing to them and saying, do you still want to be on the list? Do you still want to be on the list? So that in itself then is a huge waste of resource. And, you know, then as a result, people who desperately need to be seen now don't get in because they're put on the list. Whereas in an ideal world, they should be coming to optometry in the community and you'd be able to say to them, okay, you need to be seen today or tomorrow. And we would be able to ring up the hospital and say, this is very urgent, they need to be seen today. But the capacity would be freed up in the hospital and they could be seen because, you know, the equipment in the hospital is great and once you get into the system, it's fantastic, but it's getting there is the hard part. And as you say, once, you know, to lose your sight when it's avoidable is is really terrible. I mean, to have that happen to people is just so distressing. And even for people who have cataracts and who reach a point where their vision is compromised, for an 80-odd-year-old person to have poor vision, it creates great loss of independence and quality of life for them. So, you know, even for that, never mind whether they're going to be fixed post-cataract, in those intervening couple of years, like, their life is seriously affected by not having their cataract done in time. So we just feel that at this stage it's time, you know, that the government looked at changing their approach to care and allowing it to be locally based, local community. We already have contracts with the government, you know, through the HSE, through medical card services, and through people who come in, you know, with social, you know, under their social welfare payments. And we already have contracts. So to change them just a little bit, to modify them to allow more people to be seen out in the community, would be relatively easy. And it would be a win-win for everybody. It would be more cost-effective. It would cost the government less. It's cheaper to send people to an optometrist than to have them go in for an outpatient clinic in a hospital. There's no capital cost for the government. They don't have to employ anybody extra. There's no pension cost. And it means that we could see all of those people at a lower cost, and we reckon we would make, you know, a significant impact on the waiting list, if not clear them over the next year.
So this is a very serious situation, but it can be sorted out, is what you're saying, Derval.
Is that we firmly believe that we can go a long way towards sorting it out with, if everybody works together and does their bit to help the patient and to make sure that the patient is getting the best model of care, which is community-based, with the option then of having all of our great facilities available to them when they're required.
Now, you mentioned yourself there, sharing public care across the community hospitals and clinics, and this is your CEO, Sean McCrave, described Scotland as the holy grail of eye care. Is this what you're basing your plans on, Derval? The Scottish model.
It is part of what we're basing on. We would have the same qualifications as optometrists who work in Scotland, and people who qualify here can go over to Scotland. So they can deliver the same care as a Scottish optometrist when they're over there. And likewise, they would be in a position to deliver that care if they were here. And about 10 years ago, because of the capacity in Scotland, and again, they were in the same position with huge waiting lists, they changed their model of care so that people in the first instance all had to go to their local optometrist if they had a red eye or if they had an issue or they were, you know, they had something, and that instead of going straight to the hospital for something that then would turn out to be minor, they had to go to the optometrist first, and it reduced the level of hospital visits by something like 80%. So it meant then that the people in the hospital are freed up to do what they do best, and that is to treat pathology and to look after people who have urgent eye care needs, instead of seeing people with dry eye or some, you know, like small issue that can be managed locally. So that has been a fantastic model, and it has grown into the model. And in the initial stages, it probably, I think, the government there felt that it cost a little bit more, but this has balanced out now, because the reason it costs more is because everybody got seen, you know, and now they have no lists. It's all very calm, and it's a very well-delivered system with good CPD and lots of, you know, ongoing education for optometrists. And we're registered here. We're recognised as a profession for over 60 years, and we've been regulated and recognised with very good training. And we've had compulsory ongoing education. So we're like, you know, the medical profession, we're constantly updating. I mean, anybody who's been in an optometrist over the last year sees huge changes in the level of equipment and that's available to them. So we reckon we could, as you say, imitate the Scottish model and create a resource here that would be second to none. And as you say, it would be a win-win for everybody. It'd be a win for the health service, you know, and for the patients who use it.
Yes, and I know in the present system, if somebody misses an appointment through no fault of their own, it can't be helped, that person could be waiting another year for to get another appointment. So the Scottish
That's
model...
That's true.
Yeah. Would that be solved with your plan?
That would be solved. And one of the big issues for the hospitals is people not turning up for appointments. And as you say, it's because they're made so far in advance. Family circumstances happen. Life gets in the way. You know, they've a bereavement or they're not well. And it's almost impossible to get onto the hospital then to change your appointment. Whereas it's much easier to change your appointment in a local area to, you know, get somebody to pop up and say, can't make it, can I change it for another day? And, you know, statistics have shown that when people are in control of their own appointments, you have a much better chance of them showing up. You know, when they can actually say, well, I want to do Tuesday because I'm free, I have childcare for my other children, or I have my son Joe who'll bring me up that day, I can manage that. And, you know, even in terms of elderly people, it is much, much easier for them to come into a local optometrist in a local area. You're only expecting somebody to drive you 2 or 3 miles down the road instead of having to get into hospital. And in Dublin, we're lucky, obviously, because, you know, we have all these hospitals on our doorstep. But think if you're coming from Donegal and you have to go down to Sligo to have a checkup. You know, that's a long out trip, and we have to provide ambulance service or somebody has to drive you. And clearly that's shooting the cost up, and that's not even taken into consideration in a lot of the models of cost. So it would make a big difference in terms of flexibility for appointments, and it would reduce the number of no-shows. And that obviously would make life easier for everybody.
Now, your organisation did meet with politicians, Derval. What sort of reaction did you get, or did you get any feedback from? Will there be action on this?
I think so. There's a primary care review coming out shortly, and we would hope that it will use the resource that's available, the local community, and that it won't create another structure, you know, that a sort of a middle structure somewhere that people will have to go to and will take another 5 years to set up. You know, I suppose what we're saying, and most of the people who came, we had a briefing the other day. So we had talked to Minister Harris previously, and he was quite keen and hadn't realised there was such an issue in eye care. And we have also been talking to the Department of Social Welfare about allowing people, you know, come back out and stay in the community for additional tests, and that they would fund that. So they've been quite forward-thinking in that regard. So that's quite a positive step. So we're hoping that the Minister for Health now will follow suit, and that he will create the same kind of resource on the ground, so that people can use their local area, you know, and using their medical card or whatever is available to them, and to restructure the costings of that. The politicians who came the other day, some of them were shocked. They couldn't believe that, you know, that the lists are so long. And I suppose it's a reflection maybe on politics generally. It's a kind of reactionary. People only, you know, that our planning isn't as good as it should be maybe, and people just react to what's the biggest list and what's going on. But as I say, we reckon we could make a big effort to solve it. But they were all very keen that something should be done, and few of them have got back in touch since now to say, what can we do to help move this on? So we're quite optimistic now that there'll be a bit of a push to try and resolve this as quickly as possible.
I did say at the beginning of our conversation that this was new to me, and the minister himself wasn't aware of this, and other politicians weren't aware of this. So you'd imagine that they'd be very, very happy to solve this, and as you say, it can be solved.
I think they would. I mean, we've had, I suppose one of the reasons that we have reached the point now where we are, you know, saying that this really needs to be done, because we've had two reviews over the last 6 years, neither report has been published. They would both go some way towards addressing the issues that are, you know, being spoken about. But neither have been published. They're both still sitting on the shelf. And so we kind of felt at this stage, you know, we can't. It's like all of these, I suppose, just reviews and tribunals and things. We want action at this point. It's time to stop talking and to move on and to make an impact. And that's what we're kind of saying at this stage. And that's why we've sort of decided now that we need to get out there and tell people that it's time for something to be done and to stop talking about it.
Well, hopefully now that there will be action on this, and maybe you've actually shocked the minister and other ministers into acting, because not everybody was aware of this problem.
Yeah, I think so. And I think too, it's to make people aware of the problem, but also the fact that we can offer a solution, and we can offer a kind of a locally based and national solution. As I said, we've 800 optometrists spread all over the country, you know, so that for everybody, there's somebody on their doorstep they can go and see who would be able to solve problems, and then just make sure that those who need to go further can go further, and that they can get access to care as quickly as possible.
Well, Derval, it's been very, very interesting talking to you, and once again, thank you very much for taking the call. And it's a great thing to hear that there is a major problem out there, but it can be solved relatively simply, and I'd imagine relatively quick as well.
It would be. I mean, we think we could sort out a huge amount of this waiting list within the next 6 months if we were allowed to get involved. So we'd be delighted to do that. I'm delighted to have spoken to you, and I hope maybe that, you know, the more coverage that people, or the more people talk about it and that they look at it, that it will be taken seriously as an option and that we can get some movement on it.
Yes, and people can talk to their local representatives about this. And
exactly.
Right there, Ervil, thank you very much for taking the call. It's been very interesting talking to you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great. You're very welcome. Thanks a million, John. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dervil. Yes, Dervil Pitcher there from the Association of Optometrists in Ireland. And if you do, you know, it's a major problem, but it's a problem that can be solved. So speak to your local representatives, your local TDs, and demand action on this.